What do we think about when we think about God's goodness? Do we think about just the good things he's done for us? That's probably the first thing that comes to our mind. But rather than that, trying to think about his goodness. How good is God? Not because of what he does, but just because of his goodness. That he's good. Thinking about just his goodness rather than thinking about the things that he does for us, which we should. We should give him thanks. The Bible says give him thanks, and we should give him thanks. And we give him thanks for all that he does for us, things that we do see, things that we don't see. You know, we do that as we grow in the Lord. It's like we said last week, okay, he said, Peter was writing, he said, you know, you've never seen him, but you love him. I've just been thinking, and that just keeps going through my mind, and I keep just having this thought that, you know, Peter was almost in awe of the fact that they'd never even seen the Lord and they loved him. It's a miracle of God to love God when you've never seen God. It is a proof that the witness, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Something has happened that we actually love him. We have never seen him, yet we love him. Now we have, you know, examples of that, because people, having never seen someone, fall in love with them over the internet. Sometimes that works out, sometimes that doesn't. But Peter said, look, you have, even though you've never seen him, you love him. And then he goes on to say, and though you don't see him now, you trust him. It doesn't take a lot of faith, but it does take faith to see God in good stuff. But even when we don't see him in circumstances and we trust him, that's faith being the substance of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen, the substance of things. It's a transitional thing. This last week in at the jail, one of the young gals said that she had grown up going to church, but she had lost her baby at 8 months, and she said it's hard to really trust God when he would put you through something like that. And I said, "Oh, let me tell you something. Don't focus on the trial. Focus on the peace of God, you see, because the peace of God comes and it passes understanding. It's there for us if we'll take it. But if we don't know him, we don't know about him. And if we don't know him, then when we think about his goodness, we don't necessarily think about him. We think about the things that he does. But all of that will come. All of that will come into a good place as we grow in the Lord. But just think of what a privilege that is. What a miracle that is that you love him. You've never seen him, but you love him. And then the more that we love him, we begin to see him. We begin to see him in things. We begin to see him in the sky. We begin to see him in all the things that are around us. We begin to acknowledge him. And when you acknowledge him, then you see him. And then we can trust him even when we don't see him. See, I don't see God in evil. I see evil in evil. I can't bring myself to attribute evil to God. I can't. It's almost like there's a righteous anger that rises up in me when people are deceived enough to believe that God has put them through something awful. They just haven't been encouraged in the Lord. They've been robbed of that truth. And so, you know, that just keeps talking to me about you haven't ever seen him. I never saw God. And I couldn't believe in the beginning that I could love him when they said I would have to love him and hate my family. And I couldn't see how am I going to hate my family who I see and love God more than I love my family, basically. And that's just easy to love God more now. But it was hard to grasp that I was going to love God who I had never seen more than people who had raised me. And yet, he said, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven if you don't love me more than anything. You won't see the kingdom of heaven. Now, it is the King James says, if you don't hate your mother and father, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And he wasn't saying you got to hate them. He's just saying you need to love me. I've got to come before everything. Otherwise, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, you know, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But he also tells us to grow. To grow. To grow. There is an adjustment. You know, David says, I considered my ways and I turned to you, Lord. There's a changing that has to take place. It's going on, and we change at the speed that we desire to. So anyway, in 2 Timothy, Paul tells him, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Now, we know this. We know this verse, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede in their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can have peaceful and quiet lives. But recently when I read this, you know, pray for all people. We can pray for all people. And the simplest prayer we can pray is, Lord, help them. Now, I don't know about you, but previous to this, oftentimes when I prayed, Lord, help them for people, it wasn't necessarily so much to help them. It was, Lord, help them. They, you know, I mean, it was like, you can have them, Lord. It wasn't, you know, and that doesn't mean I never prayed, Lord, help them, because sometimes you sincerely want the Lord to help somebody. And but to come to the understanding of how powerful that prayer is. Because the Bible says, pray for them. Just pray, Lord, help them. Lord, help them. We've prayed for ourselves, Lord, help. Lord, help me. Help, Lord, help. Probably some of the greatest prayers that we pray are those one or two word prayers. Where we don't get caught up in advising the Lord. Where we don't get caught up in a whole bunch of requests of the Lord. But we just get caught up in the Lord. To pray his word back at him. Lord, you sent your word and healed all our diseases. And leave it at that, not add to it. And if it be your will, he's already said that it is his will. So we can stop short of our unbelief. The unbelief might still be there, but we need to not speak it out. We need to just put our trust in the Lord. Lord, and then follow that up with the understanding, Lord, I know you'll help me. I know you care for me. I know you love me. You see, speaking the truth and casting down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Just bringing it up, you know. And Paul just tells Timothy, okay, first of all, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. He says, intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Sometimes when I have said, Lord, help them, it wasn't necessarily an intercession, nor was it a giving thanks for them. Now, some people you pray for, and it's hard to go on and give thanks for them. That's true, isn't it? And it's not, you know, there is no condemnation that are them that are in Christ Jesus. We're just learning. We're still learning. After all these years, we're still learning, I hope. I know I am. Because I have to be honest and just say, I know that verse. I know that verse. I've read that verse. I've read that verse to God. But it's never meant as much as it did when it was highlighted by the Lord. Pray for all people. Okay, I pray for everybody. He said, just ask the Lord to help them. God knows what help they need. God knows whether they need salvation. God knows what they need. God will help them. And you know what? We need to be willing for God to help people that don't even measure up in faith to what we think they should. Just help them, Lord. I had a guy call me yesterday, and he's the stepfather of a young man that I know from jail. And he said, this is kind of hard to say. I don't really know for sure what to say. I'm calling you for my wife because she was scared to. she kind of wants to know what you're about. Well, I'm about Jesus, you know. And he was amening as soon as I said I'm about Jesus. He was all for that. He said, well, because you've made quite an impression on her son, and he's really important to her, and so she just wanted to know what you were about. Just about Jesus. So now then the guy has to go a step further because the guy is born again. He said, so then do you think that he's born again? I said, I know he is. I prayed with him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He was just really happy. Then he said, I'm not sure that his mother is quite there yet. I said, well, I don't know. But He'll get her there. Now the boy is in a lot of trouble. But the peace of God has given him confidence and given him hope. You know, and the thing that comes to me, what are we about? What are we all about? As a Christian, we really ultimately are all about Jesus. I mean, the foundation, the rock that we stand on is Jesus. So, I'm about Jesus. I may be about a lot of stuff going on around me and stuff, but foundationally, what am I all about? I'm about Jesus. Not because I'm a preacher, not because of any other reason than that we got to be solid on the foundation of the rock. If you went to buy a house, nowadays, I mean, it's kind of a complicated thing nowadays by the time you get all of the people appraising it and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's not like you just see a house and you can just buy a house. It's like they got to look at everything. They got to know what the foundation is. They got to know, because they got to know what's going to stand. Well, see, our foundation. And there's an old song that says, the church is one foundation. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. We might have a far-ranging thing about it, but if Jesus is the foundation, if we can get down to the foundation, you know, we'll be good. I have to tell you, this week I had a guy call me that wants to check out jail ministry because he's working, and I don't know all the lingo he's working to be a deacon in his church. It's the Catholic Church, and he says I don't really know, but they require me. I need to have a few hours of this, you know. And I just told him, I said, I got to be honest with you, you know. I mean, I will take you in. I will let you get a feel for it. But I'll be honest with you, it's not for everybody, and I'm a little protective of these sheep, so I won't let just anybody. But the guy's got a good heart. I believe he's got a good heart. And so, you know, he was just real honest. That was all he was talking about was the Lord. But this is something that they're sort of requiring him to do, and he doesn't know if it's really for him or not. And that's honest. That's sincere. But what I was going to say is that I got to admit is that when he first told me, my first fleshly response was, I don't know if I want you in there. But I have repented. I repented before they got done with the conversation. And so now I'm trying to find a way to get him in. To get him in. If he's hungry and he's seeking the kingdom, then that will be good, won't it? Yeah. It's God help them. Who am I to think that I need to try to qualify God help them prayer? Just God help them. I want everybody helped. God, you know, I mean, let's face it. God helped me. He was patient with me. Forgive me for ever getting to a place where I was going to be impatient with somebody else, Lord. God help them. That's the deepest intercession we can make for somebody. And thank you for them, God. Thank you for them just the way that they are and for how you see that they can be. You see, these are all things that as a Christian we are really about. Now, we are in this world, we're just not of this world. But we're in here, and since we have Him, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we're prepared at every opportunity to share the hope that is within us. I had a revelation from the Lord this week when I did a funeral, and that was about the fact that, you know, a funeral is really a celebration and a contemplation. That's all it is. It's an opportunity to celebrate somebody's life, and you can celebrate somebody's life whether they knew God or not. You can celebrate the gifts that they had from God. You can celebrate the good things that they did. You can celebrate. But to me, the most important thing is the contemplation. It's an opportunity to contemplate our own lives. Just to have an opportunity to just draw close to God. See, and that's our lives every day, everywhere. An opportunity to draw close to God. To be around a situation and somehow bring that situation close to God. To realize that the foundation is the thing that's going to make everything stand. So how can I bring that? We don't have to give a lot of thought to it. We have to give thought to God. We have to be prepared for God. And when the opportunity comes, we'll know and we'll just bring it close to God. Because we don't have to worry about what we're going to say. It'll be given to us when the time comes. As long as we've got things to say in us. And a desire to say them. What did the disciples pray? Lord, fill us with boldness. Sometimes the boldest, the big boldness is just to simply praise the Lord. Or Paul said to people in a shipwreck, I believe God. I believe God. What do you know today? I believe God. What about everything? I just got to listen to Him. I just got to listen to Him. I just got to listen for His voice. I just got to have it tuned to the right station. Got to have the connection made. And so God helped them. It's a simple prayer. You think about storms and about remembering to call God. As I considered that, I thought about the fact, do you ever notice that storms are put down in history? They know about big storms. They know about all that kind of stuff. But nice days don't necessarily get a lot of billing. It was a nice day 50 years ago today. Now, somebody probably knows that, but it's not like it makes the headlines. But this is the 10th anniversary of the storm that did all this and this and this. It's like the focus on the storms, and boy, oh boy, what percentage of the population, when you think about a storm, thinks about why did God do that? Mother Nature. There might be a Mother Nature because the atmosphere has weather, but I don't think it's a Mother Nature. It's just the weather comes and goes, but the Word of God stands forever. But storms, Jesus told us how to handle storms. You know, Jesus would have slept right through that storm in the boat if they wouldn't have come yelling at him. He was asleep. They had to wake him up. They had to shake him. And they said, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" What a silly thing to say. They knew he cared. They'd seen him take care of them. He'd given them more head-shaking moments than they knew what to do with. But this was a new one. And it was a new one. And Jesus showed them how to handle it. Now, they maybe didn't call right, but they called. They went to the place that they needed to go. He was their only hope. They were just a little frantic. You know. They were too frantic to go in and say, "Oh Lord, you can take care of this. We aren't sure how to do it. Could you please show us?" No, instead they said, "Whoa, don't you care? Just got to get them woke up. You're in a hurry." Jesus, the Bible tells us, would have just walked right past them across the water. He said he was going to pass them until they called out. So how do you take authority over a storm? Call out. "Jesus, help me." But see, he's prepared us for every storm. But he's prepared to answer in the midst of every storm. And when he's our foundation, that's our first thought. Our first thought isn't, "What am I going to do now?" Our first thought is, "Help, Lord." Because if it's, "What are we going to do now?" the biggest thing in our mind is going to be how helpless we are. And so then we'll make note of the storm rather than of the solution. And so the answer for any and every storm is call. Call. And we don't have to call great and thoughtful and theological prayers. We need to call, "Lord, help." I sometimes try to think of something really powerful to pray. I have at different times. I know that sometimes people want just a little more than "Lord, help them." Because not everybody understands that "Lord, help them" would be the best thing that you could pray. But we need to keep at those things. You know, when Stephen was stoned to death, he was able to say, don't hold them to account on this. When Jesus was crucified, he was able to say, "Lord, forgive them," and he made an excuse for them. They don't know what they're doing. It was an honest, true statement. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. But you see, he could see that, and so he could then pray and forgive and make an excuse for them and ask the Lord to help them out of a sincere heart. That's where I want to get. That's where I want it. Jesus literally preferred others before himself. And I'll be honest with you, I still fall short of that sometimes. There's a group of others. There are some others that's not a problem with, but there's other others that it is a little bit of a problem with. Aren't there? I mean, you know, the family, the Hosanna family, you know, that's not a problem. But a little ways outside the doors, it might be a problem. to prefer others over ourselves. But Jesus wasn't a problem for him. So, got places to grow, places to go, if that's our desire. And it is supposed to be our desire. But unless we're presented with the opportunity or the understanding or the information, we don't necessarily go looking for the hard things in the Bible. Do we? I don't go looking for the hard things. God takes me to the hard things to deal with the hard things, to take a look at myself on the hard things, to take a look at myself where it says, okay, pray for all people, ask God to help them. Hey, I know that verse. Okay, but now let's ask God to help them like we want God to help them, not want God to help them like we're brushing it off. Those people that irritate us, those people that are less than what we would like them to be, that we say, oh God, help them. I mean, I got to tell you something. The political scene is just a strange atmosphere now. And the left are making the right look pretty right because they're just nuts. Just nuts. Not a little nuts, a lot nuts. I was thinking last night, how in the world do people who otherwise are really quite good people get tied up in such thinking? How do they allow themselves to just be so stupefied by literally coming to a place where they cease to think for themselves? I mean, I pray about that and I think, God, I don't want to be that way in the other direction, but my goodness, they're making it an easy choice for me, you know? But now, I often have said, oh, God, help them, but now I need to pray, God, help them. Because a lot of times when you just say, oh, God, help them, I mean, I'm talking about me now, you know? It's more like a God help them see things the way I see them, or God just help them, or God get rid of them and help them, God do whatever. You know, I mean, it's like to become so disconnected from them, and I can't do that. We can't do that. Let the mind be in you that was also in Christ. Apparently it's available. But there are some things that I, on my own, would not go looking for that to take place. But when the Lord brings it up, I've got a choice to deal with it. And when I've dealt with it, sometimes I haven't dealt with it as much as I think I need to deal with it. I'm supposed to share it. I mean, there's always further to go with God, isn't there? If there wasn't always further to go with God, then we would become bored with God, and you know what happens with things we become bored with. And so there's a reason that Paul said, listen, I got to forget what's behind and reach for what's ahead and press for the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I got to keep going. Got to keep going. Got to keep growing. Got to keep getting closer and rejoicing and being in whatever the Lord has for us to be in. It is. It's really a pretty simple truth, but sometimes those ones that are so simple, when you think about them, can be so difficult. I mean, hey, we all want to grow in our faith. We all want to pray for the sick and have them recover. Those are the fun things, you know. But we might not want to deal so much with really praying for everybody. And just simply, sincerely saying, God help them. Because you know there are people that have gone out of their way to make your life miserable, maybe. And those are the people that the Lord says, now there is an opportunity to pray, Lord, help them. And do it until you mean it. Do it until your prayer for them is even more sincere than the one for your best friend. Because when we do that, then we know the truth. And the truth makes us free. Say unto the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God in whom I trust. I urge you, first of all, just pray for all people. And ask God to help them. You know, everybody needs God. People need the Lord. How many years ago was that song? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. We needed the Lord. We still need the Lord. Don't forget how much we need the Lord. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Let that be our song. He gets sweeter and sweeter as each day goes by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over again. Yeah, we can get tied in knots over other things and can't get the things out of our head and let those things, you know, basically tied in a knot to a brick that's taken to the bottom of the water, and we can get tied in knots over that. Can't we get tied in knots over loving Jesus? Restore to me, David said, the joy of my salvation. Oh, Lord, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I mean, is it the desire of our heart? Do I want more? We need to consider these things. We've got to want. You see, you can walk down the street. You can do your job. You can do anything you're doing wanting God more. Letting the Lord displace thoughts that aren't godly, displace thoughts that aren't taking us higher, just letting Him just slide in. How about this? Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We give you praise. We give glory. We give honor. We give power unto you. Jesus, the name above all names. We have to. You do. There's a reason that Paul said, "Stir yourself up." We got to get stirred up sometimes on our own about God. We got to recognize when our batteries are dwindling. We gotta recognize. It doesn't take but about three cranks when I go out to punch the button and start the tractor to realize that it needs to get charged up. Well, sometimes I'll hope maybe it'll catch on the next one, but usually after about two, I know whether we got a shot or not. I might as well just go get the charger, put it on there, because it's already sounding like it ain't going to happen. Recognize it when your joy is headed toward the door. Recognize it when your hope is lower than your feet. Recognize it. And then pray, God, help me. You're one of the all people, you know. We ought always to pray. And it doesn't take a big, long prayer to just get your heart and your mind set back in Christ Jesus. Like a drink of water on a hot day. Like a deep breath when you can't breathe. That's what the Lord is. And with that, he'll see us through. He'll guide us. If necessary, he'll carry us. Turn your heart toward God. Just turn to God and just let it be. Lord, help us. Help us to pray for all people, that you would help them. Help us to intercede and give thanks for them. Help us just to trust you, Lord. I mean, you're so trustworthy, but we have to trust you. We don't know the answer to everything. We don't see the good in everything. We don't see you coming to our rescue. We don't see it when the disciples were rowing on the water against the storm, and then they saw you walking on the water. At first they thought you were a ghost, and then they called out to you. We call out to you, Lord, and we know you hear us, and if we know you hear us, we know that we have what we've asked of you. Will we believe it? In Jesus' name, amen.